But once we start comparing with one another, we're in trouble. But when we become fitted together, appreciation for God goes through the roof. That's what this next scripture says. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. See, when we obey God's design, things start to grow and people thank God for it.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Shortly before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave spiritual gifts to his disciples so they could continue the work that he had begun. He gave different gifts to different people so that everyone, working together, could complete his mission here on earth. Here's Pastor Wayne to unpack that thought in a message entitled, The Joy of Serving.
The joy of serving is not supposed to be the other way around. It wasn't ever designed to be painful. In fact, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he never intended for his ministry that he had on earth to stop. When he was redeeming people, giving them hope, bringing salvation, healing the hurting, when he ascended into heaven, he never wanted that to stop. He wanted it to continue. How many of you believe that? So he gave that ministry to you and me, the church. However, God knew that we could never carry on his ministry by our own strength, with our own muscles. So he knew that we were inadequate. So you know what he did? He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to you, to the church. And there's different gifts. He gave some offices like pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists. He gave, in fact, the scripture says it this way. It says, when he ascended into heaven, he led captives captive, or he took those that were held captive by the devil, captured them, and took them with him. Those who had died in the faith and they were looking forward to the Messiah, he took captivity captive, recaptured them, wrested them free from the enemy. And then he said, it says he gave gifts to men in the form of apostles or prophets or evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are offices. Now we're all to do like the work of an evangelist. He says that to Timothy in the fourth chapter, do the work of an evangelist. But there are some people that he gifts that their whole office and life is that of an evangelist. That's an office. It's a gift. For example, Billy Graham. Billy Graham was indeed one of the best, most prominent evangelists. That was a gift of God's grace. It wasn't by his own works. It was a gift that God gave to him, and he stewarded it in such a way that millions have come to Christ because of that. So what says when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to men. So there's actually three sections of gifts. One is there in Ephesians that he gave gifts, offices, prominent offices, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostles to men. But then he gave many more gifts, and every single one of us has one. One of the things the devil would love for you to do is to stay ignorant about the gifts. Because the gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit was to carry on the ministry of Jesus. Each of us has a gift. But if we're ignorant of it, or we're misinformed about it, or we're afraid of them, then that's exactly what makes the devil just cackle with glee, because the church doesn't represent Jesus anymore. We become a religious group. But God says, I want you to know. In fact, Paul the Apostle said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters. He says, I don't want you to be what? Uninformed. Read that with me, would you? Go. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Yeah, see, because we are uninformed about it. We have wrong teaching. So the Lord is saying, I want to give you understanding about the gifts, because it's exactly the gifts that will cause the ministry of Jesus to continue. Sometimes we say, you know, why don't the miracles that when Jesus was walking the earth, why don't they continue? Well, what about all those things that Jesus did? How come it doesn't continue? Because we're uninformed about the gifts. We can't do it on our own strength. It won't work. But he gave gifts to the church. Do you remember in Zechariah, he says, "Now remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." So the Spirit of God gave gifts. And if we will each receive those gifts and steward them and use them, do you understand the ministry of Jesus will continue on this earth today? It's like, wow, I wonder what lies within you. I wonder what gift God has given to you. See, you might not recognize it yet, but it's in you. It's there. I remember, how many of you remember is a talk show, the Phil Donahue show? Do you remember that? Raise your hand. Yeah, because you're old. I don't, but I read about it. But no, actually, I saw some of those. Now, let me tell you about one that I will never forget. Phil Donahue and went on for 26 years. It's a great talk show. But he was interviewing these muscle men, these weightlifters, these huge guys. They looked like geckos on steroids. And you notice the more muscles these guys get, the smaller their heads become. They're just these teeny little ping pong balls on this inflatables. And they're sitting on the stool. They have like spandex or you know, Speedos on. And they're just huge. They're just massive. And so Phil Donahue asks this penetrating question. He looks at their muscles. I mean, they're just like massive. And he says to them, "Now, tell me, what do you use these muscles for? I mean, do you like carry refrigerators, or do you move trains from train track to train track? Do you move homes down the road? What do you use these muscles for?" And the first guy says, "For this." And he looks at the camera and flexes and sits back down. And Donahue goes, No. "What do you use these muscles for, like during the week?" The second guy says, "For this." And he sticks his leg into the camera and goes, and Donahue now is laughing, and so am I. And I run, I turn the television up. I say, I gotta hear these guys. And he says, No. "What do you use these muscles for?" And the third guy puts his back towards the camera. "For this." And it just balloons out like one of these Coast Guard dinghies that are the inflatables. You know, you throw them out. And he shows that, and I thought, no way. They sit back down, and I'm laughing, and I'm thinking, that's the church. We're like that. God has given us so much in gifts and strength and ability, and it's like the Lord's going to go, "You know, all the gifts that I gave you, what did you use them for?" And we as Christians are going to go, "For this, hallelujah," every Sunday morning, and then we sit back down. And the Lord's going, no. "What do you use them for?" "Praise the Lord." The Lord said, no. You see, within each of us, there are gifts that make us powerful. In fact, the Bible says that this way, the gates of hell shiver when the church of God rises. It says the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. So if we have all of this strength by the gifts of God's grace given to us, the question is, what are we using them for? I wonder about the potential in this room. Everything this generation needs lies within us. But we've got to start using them. They're different gifts. People that will be gifted in prayer, people will be gifted in faith, people gifted in leadership. I mean, there's just so many different gifts. And we've got to put them to use. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Would you read this scripture? Go. "Since we have gifts that," what? Nice and loudly. Go. "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them." What's each of us to do? To?
Exercise
them. Yeah. Not let them stay in potential latent form, but we've got to exercise them. And sometimes when you're exercising, it doesn't mean you got it down. It just means you're practicing it. And so God is saying, "I want to bring these gifts into full bloom, but they cannot be brought into full bloom unless you start to use them." Once you pass through the servant's entrance and put your hand to the plow, boom, 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 he starts to blossom these gifts. But on the other side of the entrance to serving, why should he blossom them? They're not useful. We're not going to use them at all. But once you say, I'm going to use it, then he starts to blossom them. Now, he says, since each of us has this gift, according to, here's the word, grace given to us, the gifts that God gives to us, not because we deserve them. It's because of his grace. How many of you agree with me? Yeah, none of us deserve anything, but God gives these gifts to us just simply because of his grace. Now, you've heard someone say, oh, that person is very charismatic, or he's got a lot of charisma. That's actually a Greek word. Charisma is charismaton, or charismatic person. Charismaton means gifts of charis, and the word charis is grace. So a charismatic person is actually someone who understands the gifts given to him or her by grace. It's actually God's grace. Now, here's the cool thing. The word charismaton is the gift part. Charis is the Greek word for grace, charis. Now, here's the neat thing. The root word of charis or grace is char, C-H-A-R. And you know what that word means in Greek? Joy. You see, when you are using your gift, it is then that it brings the greatest joy. When you don't use your gift, you become lethargic. You become distractible. You become someone that's bored. You become someone that's like, well, what more is there? But when you are actually utilizing your gift or the assignment that God has given to you, you'll experience the greatest joy. And that's what we want to talk about today, the joy of serving. Because that's the entrance into joy. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him say it's the entrance to pain or something you don't like to do. No, it's actually the entrance to joy. That's why the devil wants us to stay uninformed or misinformed about the gifts. Because once we start moving in the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, powerful church. And then people start to see Jesus. Now, Jesus embodies all the gifts. In Romans 12, you're going to find seven gifts. You're going to see serving and leadership and mercy, etc. And we'll talk about them. Jesus embodies all the gifts. But when he ascended into heaven, what the Holy Spirit did was he took and distributed the gifts to each of us. So each of us may have one of them. Why? Why don't we have all of them? It's so that none of us can think that we're Jesus. But together we can be. When we start working together. So then that gift is attached to that one, and that one pretty soon people say, man, that's like Jesus is alive again. He's doing such good things. Yes, he gets the glory. But God gives to us gifts. However, those gifts will all be in potential form, and they won't start to manifest itself until we start serving. It doesn't start before that. You have to, there's sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I can or if I'm not good enough. Just start, and then you'll see it start to bubble up. It's just amazing. That's just how God is. Gifts are like taking Polaroid pictures. You remember that? You click, and then a little picture slides out of the camera. It's nothing but just black there. You take it out, though, and you kind of move it around, shake it around, get air to it. And then little by little, that image starts to appear, and it gets clearer and clearer. The same is true with serving. You get in there, and you start to serve. You start to do what you think might be good. And you say, well, that's not what I like. Maybe I'll try this. Keep going. Keep going. Keep trying. Because all of a sudden you'll land on something. You'll say, you know, I like this. I didn't realize I was that good at it or I can do it. It could be prayer or counseling or serving or whatever it might be. So I tell people move laterally as many times as you want to move because God is somehow promoting you into his very best. So it doesn't matter. You try this for a while, try that, but at least you're serving. And the more you put your life into motion, the clearer your gift becomes. But you got to go for it. It's sort of like this. Let's say Corey over here, I'm gonna lay hands on him, and I'm going to impart to you, Corey, the spiritual gift of professional baseball. That's not really a gift, but just for the sake of illustration. So now in you is this gift of professional baseball. It's in you. Now, he doesn't look any different, doesn't talk any different, but it's in you. It's in him. All right. If he wants that gift to develop that's latent within him, what does he have to do? Watch TV? Excuse himself? No, he's got to go out and play what?
Baseball.
He's got to go play baseball. So let's say I take him out to the field and I say, okay, it's in you now, Corey. All right, I'm going to pitch you the ball. Now, being a home run king is in you. You might not see it.
No, I don't see it.
Yeah, I haven't swung a bat in years. Okay, all right. The last time it was again with my kids. All right, not on your kids, right? Yeah, so, all right. So I say, I'm going to pitch you the ball, and you hit the thing. Okay, so I pitch him the ball, and whoo, he misses it by a yard. And he throws the bat down and says, it's not me. I don't like this. Oh, no. It's in you. It's in you. Try it again. So with persistence, I keep pitching the ball to him. Pretty soon, he's missing it by a foot and then 6 inches. Now, all of a sudden, bam, he knocks that ball over the fence. Whoa, he says. I said, that's right. You see, Corey, it's in you. It's in you. Well, pretty soon, bam, he is knocking that thing, bang, over the fence. He's even calling out where he's going to hit it over the fence. Right field, watch this. This is center left field. And boy, it's just amazing. So I say, now, go out in the field, and we're going to field some balls.
What's that?
Oh, you put a glove on. Oh,
this is a glove?
Yeah. And you catch the ball, and you throw it to first base. Well, the first one comes, and bang, it goes right through his legs. He says, whoa, that's fast. They'll try it again. So, boom, he gets it, but he throws it a mile over the first baseman. Throws his glove down and says, this is not me. No, Corey, it's in you. It's in you. Keep going. Pretty soon, he's fielding that ball. Whew, he's throwing it to first. He's throwing it to second. There's double plays happening, triple plays. He's throwing it behind his back, under his legs. People are going, this guy's amazing. He hits a home run every time he's up to bat. Fast forward the tape 2 years. There's a big expo going on. He's playing. Scouts from the Atlanta Braves and all of these Montreal, all of these places are coming to check him out. Now, he's hitting him over the fence. He's making triple plays. One sports guy says to the other, he says, hey, listen, I've seen a lot of people play baseball, says one of the scouts to the second. But you know that kid, Corey? That kid has a gift. That kid has a gift. Now, let me ask you, where do you think that gift came from? Sitting around, observing? No, it came from him playing baseball. And the same thing is true with church. You see, it's in us. The Bible says, since we have gifts, not if, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. Not if, since. So everybody has one. But the only way it's going to blossom is if we play baseball. I think one of the things that causes us the worst problems is if we start to compare ourselves with somebody else. Remember, it's the Spirit of God that chooses what gift you get, not you. Well, I don't sing as good as so-and-so, so I can't be used in the church. I don't think I'm that valuable. I'll just kind of observe. I'll just go there and attend. Oh, no. You're part of the fabric of what's going on. Well, I'm not as good as, I'm not as sharp as, I'm not, no. One of the worst things to do is compare because it makes us jealous or grumble or we start to feel like we're a victim and unvaluable. Remember, you don't choose the gifts. You are given a gift. And if God says you get to serve and set up chairs, then I'm going to do that as A-plus as I can. But I cannot in any way compare myself with someone else. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, not as I will. And so we're going to be very different, and it's okay. Romans 12 says it this way. And let's read. It's going to come up on the board nice and loudly. Are you ready? Go. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we who are many are one body and individually members of one another. Listen carefully. We were actually designed for each other. Well, I don't have the gift of... No. You see, it's sort of like this. One of my favorite pastimes is Legos. Not really. This is a... When you have grandkids, you have a lot of Legos around the house. So let's take a look at a Lego here. You'll notice there's a piece of it that protrudes and a part of it that intrudes here. And when you put a Lego on, that part that is a strength fits perfectly onto something that may be a non-strength. But when it goes in together, that's how it fits. And they become strong. And then the same is here. This person that had an intrusion or a weakness or a non-strength now becomes a part of this building. And this person that had a weakness actually has on the other side of their life maybe a strength. And there's someone else here that they fit with, and we can build a cathedral out of these Legos. So even though you don't think you fit, you actually do. See, the cool thing about the body of Christ is where there's one person's lack, it actually gives another person opportunity to provide. Where there's one person that's weak, that really opens the door for someone who may have a gift to help. Because without that weakness, there is no opportunity. Where there are no needs, there's no need to provide. But there's going to be a building that God is putting together. So one person's inability allows for another person to exercise their ability. Where there is one person that says, I can't, another person says, it's okay, because I can. And then when I have a need and someone that has a gift helps, there is a gratefulness. There's an appreciation, and we thank God. If you start comparing, it only begets jealousy, or it begets a grumbling, or like, I'm not good enough because I can't sing or dance or run stuff as good as they can. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit's given everyone has one. Everybody is a 10 somewhere. And as we begin to exercise that, everything starts to fit together. And then there is glory to God. Because why? Because my weakness was filled by that person's strength. And that person's weakness was filled by my strength. Because theirs might be being a leader, but leaders run into walls and they need someone who is an encourager, someone who will have a gift of mercy that'll say, I understand. And how many times in a eulogy you'll hear someone say, you know, he listened to me when no one else did. What a gift of life that is. But once we start comparing with one another, we're in trouble. But when we become fitted together, appreciation for God goes through the roof. That's what this next scripture says. Let's read it together. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. See, when we obey God's design, things start to grow and people thank God for it. Glory goes to God. We were really designed for each other, just like the Legos. That's why the Bible says it this way. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When these things start to fit together, we start to build the church. It's not an observation deck. It is actually the building of a family that's going to represent the heart of Jesus to a watching world, because each of you has one. And when none of us is Jesus, but together we are. And then people say, look how they love one another. Look how they're helping one another.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Joy of Serving by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there at this same time tomorrow. Until then, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
I wonder what gift God has given to you. See, you might not recognize it yet, but it's in you. It's there. I wonder what lies within you.
Tomorrow, the conclusion of the message, the joy of serving. And remember, as Peter once said, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
Did you know that there are nearly 8 billion people in the world? What's more, did you know that out of those 8 billion people, that there's no one, exactly no one like you? And you were created on purpose for a purpose. Make the world a better place by being the person you were created to be. And when you do, you will find that even today, hope is alive. Hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.